Thank you, Jen.
Very nice.
I feel like anything I would say after that would be anticlimactic. What a great hymn that is. And what it calls us to do is really the appropriate response to what Jesus has done. One of the most frequently played songs during Christmas is "I'll Be Home for Christmas," recorded by Bing Crosby in 1943. And it became an instant hit, especially among servicemen who were serving our country during World War II overseas. And I think it continues to be a very popular song at this time of year because it expresses a desire that we all have. It seems like most folks at Christmas time, if they want to be anywhere, they want to be home. Soldiers who are doing battle overseas today, they still want to be home. Students who are away at school, they want to be home. And that's probably where your preference is to be at a time like this, to be home. It's kind of ironic, though, that the holiday that we most associate with being home was inaugurated by and first celebrated by people who were away from home. Think about it. Mary and Joseph, they were away from home. If you had called them on Christmas Eve, you would have gotten a recorded message. And they would have told you to leave a message after the beep because they were not home. Well, where were they? Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. "Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Joseph and Mary left their residence. They left their home in the town of Nazareth in the region of Galilee. And they headed about 90 miles south to the town of Bethlehem, which was Joseph's ancestral home. That's where his ancestors were from. And to register for the census to pay the taxes that they needed to pay, everybody had to go back to their ancestral home, not where they lived, not where they were going to raise their family. But they were away from their home. What made this 90-mile trip a little more challenging was the fact that Mary was expecting. It'd be hard enough to hop into a car and drive 90 miles if you're pregnant, but to do so walking and perhaps alternating between walking or sitting on a donkey, we don't know exactly how they did it. That was quite a trip for them. And Luke tells us in chapter 2, verse 6, while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. We don't know how long she was in Bethlehem before she gave birth, but the phrase that says, while they were there, may suggest they had been there for a while. The usual picture that we have in our minds that Joseph and Mary are hurrying to get in there, and just in the nick of time, they finally get there, and she has the baby. But it's quite possible that they had the foresight to think about this and think, you know, traveling late in pregnancy would not be good. So it's possible they may have arrived weeks, maybe even months ahead of time. In any event, it says, while they were there, The days were completed for her to give birth. Jesus was not born at his home, at his parents' home. He wasn't born in Nazareth. Wasn't born in Galilee. He was born in Bethlehem, which was what the prophet Micah had prophesied. Micah 5:2. But as for you, Bethlehem Ephratah, Ephratah is either another name for Bethlehem or possibly the region in which Bethlehem's, it's not clear historical data, either a duplicate name or the region in which Bethlehem was located. But as for you, Bethlehem Ephratah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, kind of an insignificant place. From you, one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. But where in Bethlehem was Jesus born? Luke tells us in verse 7 of chapter 2, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Bethlehem was a very small town, and there weren't many places for visitors to lodge. And in light of the fact that the census was being taken, that many people were coming from out of town to go to Bethlehem where they would register for this census. Residents were probably making every space available in their home for friends, for relatives, maybe even for strangers who were flooding the area. Most translations say there was no room for them in the inn. But the word inn is not necessarily the best way to translate that word, because when we think of an inn, we think of a motel or we think of a bed and breakfast. But simply, an inn would have simply referred to a lodging. So you'll find in the NIV translates it, there was no guest room available for them. Or the New Living Translation says, there was no lodging available to them. If Bethlehem did have an inn, it would have probably been a simple structure, two-story structure, a ground level where animals would be kept, and then a second story where people might be able to stay. But Bethlehem was such a small town, it wasn't on a major trade route. So it's unlikely there was an inn. It's unlikely there was an innkeeper that we often think of, this hard-hearted innkeeper. The most that they would probably have to offer would be a little stand on the side of the road that was a covered shelter so people who were passing by could go in there, and if they had animals, they could bring their animals in there. There was nothing fancy. If Joseph and Mary did come a little bit early, which may be possible, it's possible that they found a friend or relative to stay with. It wouldn't surprise me if they got there early and they were living there for a while, that some of the latecomers who didn't have to worry about getting there early because of a progressing pregnancy, other people may have come. And maybe the place that they were staying, that started to get more crowded. The room that they were in was more crowded. So it's possible, in light of the fact that Mary was ready to give birth, that they wanted to get out of the crowd and find something a little bit more secluded. So maybe they went to a stable, which could have been a cave, or it could have simply been a covered area that animals were often kept. The fact that they placed Jesus in the manger suggests that where Jesus was born was somewhere near where animals were kept, because a manger is a feeding trough. Think about it. God's son, who was the object of hundreds of Old Testament prophecies, who was portrayed as God with us, as the Messiah, the king who would come and rule, the savior who would rescue us from sin and ourselves and all our enemies. He wasn't born in a palace. All indications were that he was born somewhere where animals were. And he wasn't attended by the best medical experts that Palestine could offer. Probably the closest beings to him may have been some animals. I wonder if at that moment, when all this was happening, I wonder if Joseph and Mary longed to be home. I think I would. Man, At a moment like this, where else do you want to be? You want to be home. But they weren't the only ones who were away from home that night. If you had called your friends the shepherd to go out and check the latest Star Wars movie, you would have gotten an answering machine. They would have told you to leave a message after the beep. But where were the shepherds? Luke chapter 2, verse 8. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people." Shepherds were away from home that night. They were working the night shift. They were out on the hills on the outskirts of Bethlehem. And while they were watching their sheep, they were startled by the appearance of angels who brought good news. The good news was that the Messiah, the long-awaited deliverer who would save them from themselves, to a group of people who had suffered from their own sin throughout their history, who had suffered at the hands of sinful people throughout our history, somebody who could come and deliver them from this was really a welcome thought. That was the good news. It's expressed in verse 11 this way. The angel said, "For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Could there be any other news that would rival that? The best news that they could imagine. How would they recognize this promised one who had appeared on the scene? Verse 12 says, "This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate that. That would really be a great sign. Because where would you expect somebody who would be a great deliverer to be born? In a palace. It would be very unusual to find somebody of that quality and character wrapped in strips of cloth lying in a feeding trough. That would be a good sign. The angel who delivered the good news was joined by an angel chorus who sang this: "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." God is to be praised for bringing peace to those who welcome the Savior, the kind of peace that's only possible when sin is removed. Because as long as we're fallen, as long as we are the way we are, peace is going to be elusive. Somebody has to take care of the root of our problem. What did the shepherds do when they heard this good news? Verse 15, "When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began to say to one another, 'Let's go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph." I picture them going around. Has there been a baby here born lately? Probably listening for some cries. Could have been Joseph thinking about college education. I don't know. Or it could have been the baby. "So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child." There he was, exactly as the angel said, wrapped in strips of cloth, lying in a feeding trough. And even though their understanding was limited, they tell Joseph and Mary everything that they had learned from the angels. God was doing something special through this baby born in this little insignificant town of Bethlehem. Something that would result in blessing for the entire world, including salvation from sin and death. But their night was not over yet. They had work to do. Verse 20 says, "The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. They celebrated that first Christmas in spectacular fashion, and they did it away from home. Come to think of it, the angels were away from home, weren't they? I kind of think their headquarters was around the throne of God, ready to do his bidding. And they would come and minister to people on earth, but they would return back for their next orders. It seemed like everybody was away from home. Come to think about it, even Jesus was away from home. Especially Jesus was away from home when you think about the big picture. John, in his gospel, describes Jesus in this way. In John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. And he calls Jesus the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things that came into being through him, all things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. He was divine. And where was his home? I don't know how to put it, but his home was eternity. Like, he had a home before time and space began. But he came to live what's our home. He left his home to come to the home that he created for us. This is the way John describes that in verse 14 of John chapter 1. And the Word who was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. In the Word, we saw the glory of God. And he elaborates on that a few verses later in verse 18. No one has seen God at any time, because he's a spirit being. The only begotten God, reference to Jesus, who is in the bosom of the Father, who is right at the Father's side, right, one with the Father, he has explained him. Why did Jesus leave home? To explain the Father, to reveal the Father, to reveal his mercy, his grace, his glory. And Paul elaborates on why Jesus came in Philippians chapter 2. He describes Jesus' journey from his home in this way, in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Who, although he existed in the form of God, what John was saying, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, to have that position and to just cling on to it. But he emptied himself. How did he empty himself? How did he give up? By taking the form of a bondservant, one who was God became like a bondservant. And being made in the likeness of men, God became just like us. What did he do while he was like us? The next verse, Philippians 2:8, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself even further, really. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He left home to save us from our sins by paying the penalty for our sin on the cross. That's why the angel said to Joseph when he found out that Mary, his betrothed, was expecting. This is the way Matthew puts it in Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 20. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And that's why the angel said to the shepherds in Luke 2:11, for today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Jesus left home so that he could rescue us and bring us home. Jesus was talking to his disciples and they were disturbed by the thought of his departure. So he says to them in John chapter 14, beginning in verse 1, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house." It's like he's going back home. "In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going." It's like Jesus says, I'm going to go somewhere, and then I'm going to bring you home with me. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way?" I would have asked the same thing. So much is at stake. I would have been nervous. I'm not sure I know how to get where you're going. "Lord, how do we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." On that first Christmas, there were a lot of people away from home. Joseph and Mary were away from home. The angels were away from home. The shepherds were away from home. Even Jesus left home. But he left home so that he could bring us home. Don't need a bus ticket, a plane ticket. Don't need a car or a donkey. We just need to humbly bow before Jesus, accept his payment for our sin, and allow him to begin to change our lives and make us more like he is and more like his Father is. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. And we celebrate it because enough people were willing to be away from home so we don't have to be. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful time of year. Thank you for a reminder of the difficulty that many people experience so that we could be home with you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be here to worship together. We pray, Lord, that we would be refreshed, not only by our worship here today, but just by the time we spend reflecting on the significance of the birth of Jesus and all that that means for us. We pray that you'd bless us as we gather with family and friends tonight and tomorrow. Pray that our hearts would be overflowing with joy at the precious gift that you've given us in the form of your Son. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Merry Christmas.